Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, March 1st, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Stocks rally as U.S. officials are said to prepare a final trade deal with China.
Tesla shares fall as Elon Musk warns of a first quarter loss.
Gap shares surge on a spinoff of Old Navy.
And New York officials make a last-ditch effort to bring back Amazon.
President Trump reportedly ordered to have security clearance for his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Plus, former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen will return to Capitol Hill. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Knicks blew a lead, lost at the Garden to Cleveland. The Islanders beat their former star John Tavares in Toronto. St. John's lost to Xavier.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are ending the week on a positive note. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures higher this morning, up 16 points. Dow futures up 160. NASDAQ futures up 50. The DAX in Germany's up 1%. CAC in Paris up 0.6%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.4%. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 1%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.72%. Yield on the 2-year 2.52%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.25% or 15 cents to $57.37 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4%, down $5.60 to $13.1050 an ounce. The euro $1.1375. The yen 111.85. Nathan.
Karen, this morning's lift in stocks comes in part on optimism over a trade deal between the U.S. and China. Let's get the details from Bloomberg Zenda Curran in Hong Kong.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. All indications are now that the U.S. and China are heading towards a trade agreement. Our colleagues in Washington are reporting that there will be a summit, perhaps as soon as mid-March, between leaders of the two countries. Now, of course, we don't have the final details yet on what that agreement will look like. And skeptics will say to you, we are a long way from resolving some of the much bigger structural concerns that both sides have. But nonetheless, at the same time, it's clear that the trade truce at the very least is being extended and both sides are now pushing towards a trade agreement. In Hong Kong, I'm Enda Curran for Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Enda, thanks. The trade optimism and news that MSCI would boost the weighting of China-listed shares in its benchmark indexes helped fuel the rally in Asia. We get that story from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore.
Well, that increase will occur in three stages and could see billions of dollars flow into one of the world's most volatile stock markets, which rallied 15% in US dollar terms in February. Starting March, also on the front foot, the CSI 300 closed 2% higher on Friday to 3,749 points. Also boosting sentiment was a better-than-expected read on the Taishin PMI gauge for February, which sapped safe haven bids, sending the yen lower and Japanese equities higher. The Nikkei gained 1% to 21,602 points in Tokyo. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. The U.S. has laid out its vision for a sweeping trade deal with post-Brexit Britain, and it's likely to raise alarm bells in London. Let's go there live. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts has the latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Yeah, the White House has published its negotiating objectives for a post-Brexit trade deal with the UK. Now, it includes comprehensive access for agricultural goods, and the US is also demanding the removal of unwarranted barriers to trade in the farm industry related to health and safety checks. The paper also makes clear the US will seek measures to prevent the UK from manipulating its currency, and the US says it wants to ensure it can take appropriate action if Britain negotiates a trade deal with a non-market country such as China. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thank you. Tesla's Elon Musk is delivering on one big promise while falling short on another. Let's get the details live with the Bloomberg's John Tucker. John, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. The chief executive officer now says Tesla probably won't post a profit in the first quarter. That contradicts several of his past predictions. At the same time, Musk announced the long-awaited cheaper Model 3, along with a plan to trim costs by closing stores and cutting more jobs. Musk says he will deliver the $35,000 version of the Model 3 for the first time, almost 3 years after the company started taking orders. The company is going to shift to online-only ordering to allow it to lower the prices of all vehicles by an average 6%. Shares are down almost 4% pre-market. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. We also get automakers' February sales reports today. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
Analysts surveyed by Bloomberg News estimate the annualized rate of total car and light truck deliveries slowed to around 16.7 million last month. The rate was 17.1 million in February of last year. But LMC Automotive says a trend likely continued, with deliveries to rental companies and other fleet customers offsetting weaker demand from individual consumers. Researchers at LMC expect to hear that retail vehicle sales declined for a third time in 4 months. An analyst at Consumer Edge Research says buyer incentives could be back in the spring when truck wars heat up and more consumers come out to shop. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thanks. Uber in advanced talks to buy its Dubai-based rival, Careem Networks. Bloomberg has learned that companies may announce a cash-and-stock transaction in the coming weeks that values Careem at about $3 billion. A deal would expand Uber's ride-hailing operations in the Middle East.
New York's Amazon dreams aren't dead yet. Executives and politicians have signed an open letter to Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, urging him to reconsider his decision to give up on putting part of the company's second headquarters here. They say Governor Andrew Cuomo will take personal responsibility to get the state's approval. Here was Cuomo speaking yesterday.
I've had many conversations with Amazon. I hope that they reconsider. Up until now, we haven't seen any change in their position.
Amazon killed the deal after an angry backlash from some New York politicians and community leaders.
And shares of Gap are soaring 22.5% in pre-market trading. The clothing retailer is spinning off the Old Navy discount chain. Old Navy's robust sales have been propping up Gap for years. The remaining company will consist of the Gap brand, Banana Republic, Athleta, and a couple of lesser-known brands. Futures this morning on the rise. S&P futures up 15 points. Dow futures are up 155, and NASDAQ futures are up 48. The euro's at $1.1375. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It is 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here to tell us what else is going on in the world on this Friday morning. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump is said to have ordered then-Chief of Staff John Kelly to grant his son-in-law and senior advisor Jared Kushner a top-secret security clearance last year. That's according to the New York Times. Kelly and then White House counsel Don McGahn both wrote contemporaneous internal memos after intelligence officials had concerns about the clearance. Former Trump attorney Michael Cohen spent 3 days before Congress this week, and there is another date scheduled. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The latest, Cohen in front of the House Intelligence Committee, Chair Adam Schiff saying they were able to follow up on a lot of information.
I think we all feel it was a very productive interview where he was able to shed light on a lot of issues that are very core to our investigation, and we were able to drill down in great detail.
He says Cohen will be back March 6th. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
South Korean President Moon Jae-in says his government plans to discuss with the U.S. the possibility of restarting joint inter-Korean economic projects to induce nuclear disarmament from North Korea. President Trump yesterday had left nuclear summit talks with North Korea's Kim Jong-un in Vietnam with no deal. President Trump says Kim asked the U.S. to lift all sanctions before completely denuclearizing, but North Korean Foreign Minister Ri Yong-ho, through a translator, says they asked only for partial sanction removal in return for partial dismantling and promised to fully denuclearize.
We will permanently and completely dismantle all the nuclear material production facilities in the Nyongbyon area, including plutonium and uranium, in the presence of U.S. experts and by the joint work of technicians from both countries.
Israel's attorney general is recommending charges against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for bribery, breach of trust, and fraud. Bloomberg's Michael Arnold in Tel Aviv reports.
The draft indictment paints a dire picture, alleging that Netanyahu helped pass regulation benefiting the country's biggest telecom, controlled by his personal friend, in exchange for positive press coverage. The attorney general also recommends criminal charges in two other cases, in part for gifts of cigars and champagne Netanyahu allegedly received for helping friends with their business issues. Netanyahu denies wrongdoing and says he's the victim of a witch hunt by left-wing opponents who can't beat him at the ballot box. In Tel Aviv, Michael Arnold, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up on 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashar.
Nathan, the Phillies were seen all along as the favorites to land Bryce Harper, but it took 4 months. The feeling was Harper wasn't crazy about going to Philadelphia, where fans have notoriously been tough on star athletes. But in the end, he's not only going to Philly, he's going there very likely until 2032. It's a record 13-year contract for $330 million, and unlike the Manny Machado deal in San Diego, no opt-outs, a full no-trade clause. His teammate in Philly will be pitcher Aaron Nola. His reaction?
Seriously? Like that kind of reaction, but when we found out it's true, it's really exciting. We're really glad to welcome him to our clubhouse. I think all of Philadelphia is really happy right now.
Harper will be facing his old team, Washington, 19 times a season. Islander fans had to enjoy this one back at the Coliseum. 6-1 win moves the Isles back into sole possession to first place, and the win came against John Tavares. His first trip back, he was the Islanders' star, was steadfast that he had no desire to leave as a free agent, and then he did for Toronto, and Tavares was booed all night long.
Of course, there's a lot of emotions that go through you, but at the same time, I mean, I can only control what I can control, and I just try to be open and honest with my decision. So at the end of the day, it is what it is. I just go out there and play hockey and try to help the Maple Leafs.
At the Garden, same old Knicks. They had a big lead, seemed headed for a third straight win. Cleveland roared back to win 125-118. St. John's lost at home to Xavier 84-73. Jason Witten coming out of retirement to return to the Dallas Cowboys. The tight end spent last season in the Monday Night Football broadcast booth. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. I want to invite you to join us tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. We'll hear from a four-time Olympian in ice hockey who now runs her own sports market research firm. Angela Ruggiero, co-founder and managing director at the Sports Innovation Lab, is on Bloomberg Business of Sports tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients to be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street. And Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Tesla introduced its long-awaited $35,000 Model 3. But to do that, Elon Musk is closing physical stores and warned the company won't make a profit in the first quarter. Online-only ordering will enable lower prices of all its vehicles. Jerome Powell repeated the Fed mantra of patience in the face of conflicting signals. He said last night that signs of upward pressure on inflation appear muted, despite the strong labor market. He also drew attention to cross-currents, including slowing global growth. China's Caixin factory PMI surprised on the upside. The private gauge stayed in contractionary territory but rose to 49.9 last month from 48.3, beating consensus. And deals highlights, Lyft may publicly submit its IPO application today, putting it ahead of Uber. And Gap is spinning off its Old Navy business. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
Hannah, thank you. Since you mentioned Gap, it's up 23% in early trading this morning. Futures also higher. S&P futures up about 17 points. Dow futures up 168. NASDAQ futures up 51. The DAX in Germany's up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.72%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.52%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2%, up 12 cents to $57.34 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4%, down $5.80 to $13.1040 an ounce. The euro, $1.1375. The yen, 111.86. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the New York Times is reporting President Trump ordered his then-chief of staff, John Kelly, last year to grant his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, a top-secret security clearance. President Trump's decision troubled Kelly to the point where he wrote an internal memo along with then-White House counsel at the time, Don McGahn. President Trump's former attorney, Michael Cohen, will return next week for more testimony before the House Intelligence Committee. A strong earthquake has struck southern Peru. The preliminary 7.1 magnitude quake was centered about 16 miles northeast of Asangaro. In the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Warriors. In the NHL, the Islanders won along with the Bruins. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:20 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. The narrative in the markets this morning focusing in part on China. And let's see where our guest is taking his cue this morning. Kit Jukes, global fixed income strategist at Societe Generale, joining us from London. Kit, Chinese manufacturing data released overnight, could you characterize it as maybe underwhelming?
Underwhelming, I suppose. You know, it's a marginal improvement. It's still below 50, but coming back up. And right the way across the world, the general trend is things start not getting worse at this point in time. So February's better than January. January wasn't very good.
You're not going to say green shoots, are you?
No, I'm not even going to think of saying green shoots. It's snowing where you are. How can I say green shoots? But look, it's, you know, there's relief in markets. I can say risk on, right? I mean, the yen's weaker. The New Zealand, Canadian, Australian dollars are all stronger in the foreign exchange market. Treasury yields a bit higher. Equities are up in China. It's not green shoots, but it's a carry hunt.
Okay, the yen, as you say, it's at the back of the pack this morning. That's the usual indication for risk on.
I mean, things like the Canadian dollar, I always for a long time thought when the Canadian dollar was strong and the yen was weak, that correlates with a falling VIX, the volatility index. It correlates with tightening credit spreads. And it's probably the best currency indicator of whether risk sentiment is improving or deteriorating. And that pair, if you trade it like that, is back to the levels it was at right at the beginning of December when the sell-off was just really getting going. So we've come back a decent amount as markets believe the economic environment's not as bad as they feared a few weeks ago, and the Fed has still got financial markets globally has got their back, and the trade tensions are easing. So, yeah, not green shoots, but a better mood.
Well, let's focus on all the assets together. The equity market, is it trading on hope? The bond market maybe trading a bit on skepticism. And how's the FX market trading lately?
The FX market has got levels of volatility that mean that most of the FX market's not doing anything. So there's sort of idiosyncratic stories. You know, we've traded Eskom in South Africa. We've traded Brexit here in London in sterling. We've traded the Chinese yuan on the to and fro of the trade talks, but the underlying sort of central theme has been of the higher beta currencies recovering and the yen on the back foot and the euro dollar rate. I mean, yen and euro dollar have 4-year lows in volatility. There's really nothing happening in the most traded currency pairs. So the excitement's on where there happens to be a story this morning.
Okay, the euro carry trade, that using the euro to buy the emerging market currencies, that has been a money maker. Is that does that have legs?
Yeah, I think that's got a little bit of legs. So it had a really tough time in December, and it's come back since January in a pretty big way. And look, you know, if the ECB policy normalization is on perma hold, and if the Fed is got lower peak in rates than we thought before. Until something comes along, I think you've certainly got the recipe for that. So there's certainly enthusiasm from people to be short euros and long something, a variety of things with other yield, quite possibly a bunch of currencies in some of the Asian currencies, including the Chinese yuan, where if the Chinese are going to have a policy of not letting their currency weaken, then pick up the yield and have a good day.
What matters more, differentials in rates or the flows right now?
Differential in rates matters some of the time, but I think it's the calmness of rates. It's the fact that rates are static matters almost more than whether the differentials move. The differentials aren't moving very much, but it's the kind of events move individual currencies, but it's the stability of central bank policy with the ECB on hold and with the Fed and with the Fed on, you know, on, okay, on a patient path, I think that's the that's the essence of what gives this market move.
Kit, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Kit Jukes, global fixed income strategist at Societe Generale, joining us from London this morning. Mentioned the yen. Right now, it is at 111.87. That's down 0.4% against the greenback. You're listening to Bloomberg.
And it's 6:25 on Wall Street. Tune into our weekend edition of Bloomberg Daybreak, where we set you up for the coming week on Wall Street. You can hear that tomorrow morning at 5, again at 4 in the afternoon, and Sunday mornings at 9 on Bloomberg Radio.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are rising around the world as we close out the week and begin a new trading month. Bloomberg News has learned U.S. officials are preparing a final trade deal that President Donald Trump and his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping could sign in weeks.
Yeah, also boosting stocks, some positive signs of economic growth out of Asia. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
Sentiment has been weak in the first quarter. Japan's PMI dropped to 48.9, while Thailand and Malaysia also worsened. But there are some signs of a bottoming out. The Caixin China PMI came in at 49.9, and that was better than a Bloomberg estimate of 48.5. New orders rose versus the prior month, and output was up to 50.2 versus 48.1 in January. Economist Trinh Nguyen at Natixis says the silver lining here is that new orders are rebounding, primarily driven by domestic demand. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. One other note in Asia, MSCI will expand the weighting of China-listed shares in benchmark indexes tracked by global investors.
Tesla shares are down 4.5% in early trading. Elon Musk warns the company probably won't post a profit in the first quarter.
Shares of Gap soaring 23% this morning. The retailer announcing plans to spin off its better-performing Old Navy brand into its own public company.
Wall Street is bracing for weak data today on U.S. consumer spending. Economists forecast a December decline of 0.3%. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
Bloomberg Economics says today's data will probably be influenced by December's disappointing retail sales report, which showed broad-based weakness. Lower utility spending could also play a role, as temperatures were milder than usual in many parts of the U.S. 2018 was a positive year just the same. In November, consumer spending rose for the ninth month in a row. Looking at 2019, Bloomberg Economics says lower oil prices and improved wage growth could fuel a rebound. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. And futures this morning are moving higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 17 points, Dow futures up 172, NASDAQ futures up 53. The DAX in Germany's up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.72%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.52%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 21 cents to $57.43 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% on $6.10 to $13.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.1376, and the yen is at 111.86. And straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 6:33 on Wall Street. The news update is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at nria.net. Now here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, Nathan. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff says Felix Sater will appear at a public hearing March 14th to testify about President Donald Trump's effort to build a skyscraper in Russia. Sater, a Russian-born executive who had worked for the Trump Organization, is a figure in probes into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. He's an associate of Michael Cohen, President Trump's former lawyer, who testified in private before Schiff's panel yesterday. And Schiff says they want Cohen to come back.
We had a long day, but it wasn't a long enough day. And we very much appreciate Mr. Cohen's cooperation. He has obviously had three very long days. He'll be returning on March 6th for additional testimony.
Cohen also testified Tuesday and Wednesday before other congressional committees. The New York Times reports President Trump ordered his then chief of staff, John Kelly, to grant son-in-law and advisor Jared Kushner a top secret security clearance. This despite concerns last year from intelligence officials and the White House's top lawyer. According to the report, Kelly and White House counsel at the time, Don McGahn, wrote internal memos about their concerns. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un vowed to meet again with President Trump to continue nuclear negotiations after a two-day summit between the leaders collapsed yesterday amid disagreement over sanctions relief and conflicting accounts of Pyongyang's demands. North Korean Foreign Minister Ri Yong-ho, through a translator, says they asked only for partial sanction removal in return for verified partial dismantling.
This proposal was the biggest denuclearization measure we could take at the present stage in relation to the current level of confidence between the DPRK and the United States.
Kim expressed appreciation for President Trump's active efforts toward results and called the summit talks productive. Israel's attorney general is recommending charges against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for bribery, breach of trust, and fraud. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. John Stashower has this morning's Bloomberg NBC Sports Update.
Nathan, the Bryce Harper free agent saga finally over after 4 months. He's moving up north just a little, 7 years in Washington, and now landing in Philadelphia with a record 13-year contract. He'll be 39 when it ends. It's worth $330 million. Harper, of course, entered baseball with great fanfare, has been an MVP, but batted only .249 last season. The Phillies' fourth game of the season is in Washington. He'll be facing his old team 19 times a year, and seemingly until the year 2032. Back to reality for the Knicks, hosting Cleveland, a team just as bad as them. Looked like they were going to be on their way to a third straight win, up 12 going to the fourth quarter. The Cavs won the fourth quarter 40-21. They won the game 125-118. Golden State lost at Orlando, second straight setback in as many nights for the Warriors. And Houston's win over Miami, 58 points for the Rockets' James Harden. At the Coliseum, Islanders crushed Toronto 6-1. Sweet win. It came against their former star, John Tavares, who had maintained he wanted to remain with the team and then left via free agency for the Maple Leafs. Islander fans booed Tavares continually.
Well, obviously, I expected it was coming, so, you know, no one's walking my shoes, so I know that, and I just tried to be open and honest, and obviously, no one has to like my decision, but I just tried to explain what it is and how I got to that point, so, you know, it is what it is. I made my decision. I've moved forward, so just kind of trying to go out there and play.
Game tonight, Islanders host Washington for first place. St. John's was without second-leading scorer Mustafa Heron. Red Storm lost at home to Xavier, 84-73. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
"Know when to walk away from the table" is one of President Trump's favorite sayings. For once, he did walk away, and he was right to. His summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un didn't yield a good, workable agreement. Now Trump should reflect on what went wrong. According to the U.S., North Korea demanded that all international sanctions be lifted in exchange for a pledge to dismantle certain nuclear installation sites. That could have left intact the North's nuclear and ballistic missile arsenals and suspected but undisclosed nuclear enrichment facilities. What's needed next is the kind of diplomatic spadework that Trump has till now disregarded. Lower-level talks should continue, and both sides should lower their sights and focus on small, feasible steps to build trust and move things forward again. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:38 on Wall Street. Paid family leave and medical leave are gaining traction in states across the country. Nancy Lyons has more from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
The momentum is building to provide leave benefits for new parents as well as for workers dealing with serious illness.
Just in the 2 months of 2019, about 18 states have so far in their legislatures have had bills introduced.
Bloomberg Law's Genevieve Douglas says it's quickly becoming a bipartisan issue, with the White House now pushing for it.
This is an issue that Democrats have long introduced legislation for, the Family Act, and now we see Republicans coming to the table with potentially their own proposals.
Cost concerns in some states could even help to spur federal action on the issue. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Does this sound familiar? Tesla will put a $35,000 version of its Model 3 sedan on the market. If that gives you a sudden case of deja vu, go back to the day after April Fool's Day in 2016.
In terms of price, well, of course, it'll be $35,000.
Tesla chief Elon Musk is promising to finally deliver on what he first promised 3 years ago. The carmaker lists a new standard range version of the Model 3 on its website and says it'll feature a more premium interior than originally promised and an increased top speed of 162 miles an hour. Musk has a new promise. All U.S. reservation holders who order the $35,000 car will get it by the end of the next quarter when federal EV incentives will be reduced. And to get prices down, Tesla is closing many retail stores and shifting worldwide sales to online only, which Musk says will speed up the buying process. States that have opposed his retail system of no-dealer franchises may fight the online move in court. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. 6:40 on Wall Street. New York's Amazon dreams might not be dead yet. Executives and politicians have signed an open letter to Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, urging him to reconsider his decision to give up on putting part of the company's second headquarters in New York. They say Governor Andrew Cuomo will take personal responsibility to get state approval. Amazon killed the deal after an angry backlash from some New York politicians and community leaders. Futures pointing to a higher open on this Friday morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up on 6:41 on Wall Street. President Trump returns home from the failed Hanoi summit to face the music with special counsel Robert Mueller. We face Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. She joins us next on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures are moving higher this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk with Bailey Lipschultz. Bailey, good morning.
Karen, as you said, futures are trading higher amid a global rally. The Dow is up 170 points, S&P higher by 15, with the NASDAQ up 50 points. U.S. 10-year yield at 2.73%. Shanghai rose 1.8% overnight, while European markets are trading higher, led by gains in Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 8:30 a.m., personal income, 9:45 manufacturing PMI, and at 10 a.m., ISM manufacturing and University of Michigan sentiment. After the bell last night, Tesla announced plans to shift to online-only orders and slash some prices. Shares are down 4.4%. Nutanix plunged 24% after third-quarter forecasts missed the lowest estimates. And the Gap is up 23% after announcing plans to spin off its Old Navy business. In other news, Lyft is said to be expected to publicly submit its IPO to regulators as soon as today. And wrapping things up, L Brands cut to market perform over at Bernstein. Monster Beverage was removed from Citi's focus list. Delta Airlines and American Air were cut to hold at Deutsche Bank. Live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Bailey Lipschultz. Karen?
Bailey, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff says Russian-born executive Felix Sater will appear at a public hearing March 14th to testify about President Trump's effort to build a skyscraper in Russia. Meanwhile, after appearing yesterday, former Trump attorney Michael Cohen will return next week for more testimony before the committee. The New York Times reports President Trump ordered his then-chief of staff, John Kelly, to grant son-in-law and advisor Jared Kushner a top-secret security clearance. A strong earthquake has struck southern Peru. The preliminary 7.1 magnitude quake was centered about 16 miles northeast of Azangaro. In the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Warriors. In the NHL, the Islanders won along with the Bruins. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Among the top stories in our nation's capital, U.S. trade negotiators reportedly prepping a final deal with China that could be signed in weeks. Atlanta Fed President Rafael Bostic speaks at the NABE's 35th Annual Economic Policy Conference today. And after arriving back in Washington from a failed Hanoi summit, President Trump has no events on his schedule, at least his public schedule, today. That might not stop political events from swirling around the White House. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins me now. And I guess that can be best encapsulated, Kate, by the split screen we saw this week with President Trump in Hanoi and Michael Cohen testifying on Capitol Hill. All the investigations continue.
Absolutely. And it really has been quite the week in Washington and I guess also in Hanoi, but quite the week for U.S. political developments. Trump got back to the White House late yesterday and, you know, as you say, doesn't have a whole lot of public events scheduled. But meanwhile, things are swirling around him. And, you know, namely what we're seeing is House Democrats planning another series of hearings now with top officials from the Trump Organization and other Trump associates. And so I think we're likely to see that in the coming weeks. We also know that Robert Mueller is finishing up his final report and that that could be really imminent in its release. And so that, I should say, I guess it's submission because he's going to submit it to DOJ. And then the next big fight is going to be over whether or not it's released publicly or how much of it's released publicly. So these are some, you know, issues. We're entering a very interesting and potentially dangerous time for the Trump administration.
Yeah, and there's a lot to unpack there. Even in the coming days, we could see more revelations, perhaps, from figures within the Trump Organization. I mean, Cohen named names this week.
He did. And so I think that, you know, we're going to see those names of those folks that he did name. They're going to be called in and asked questions by Democrats. I think folks will be watching closely to see whether or not this testimony occurs in private or in public. We had Cohen actually testify two days of private testimony behind closed doors in addition to the public testimony on Wednesday. So I think those are the types of things that we're going to be looking at sort of going forward and seeing, you know, what kinds of questions Democrats are going to press Trump associates on and also, you know, what then additional new revelations come to light.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of revelations could you be looking for, particularly around the question surrounding the Trump business finances and its potential ties to Russia?
Yeah, so there's a couple things. I mean, one of the things that Cohen talked about in his plea statement, which also came up at the hearing on Wednesday, was the issue of, you know, how long the Trump Organization did actually pursue a Trump Tower deal in Moscow that eventually didn't come to fruition. But apparently that the pursuit of that went on far longer than Trump officials had originally said. And so I think that's one of the aspects of this whole saga that lawmakers are going to want to find out more about. And also, you know, this isn't as directly related to Russia, but, you know, Cohen's allegations, both that lawyers for the Trump Organization reviewed his original testimony before he made it to Congress. And that's the testimony he was eventually convicted of lying to Congress about in submitting that testimony. And then also asking him about, you know, asking them about Cohen's allegations that Trump would routinely inflate and deflate his assets or his representation of his assets when as it suited him, and particularly submitted potentially false statements to Deutsche Bank.
Should also touch on this New York Times report that dropped yesterday of President Trump reportedly ordering the White House to give his son-in-law Jared Kushner a security clearance, something that he has denied directly in the past. Is this more than just a Washington story?
I think it certainly is. I mean, we just saw just this week, Jared Kushner is, as you know, Trump's chief Middle East negotiator, was over in the region and, you know, holding high level meetings with, you know, the Turkish president Erdogan, with, you know, the crown prince, and king of Saudi Arabia. So I think that given, you know, this type of level of involvement by Kushner and, you know, also some of the questions about whether Kushner might have had some sort of role in any efforts to collude with Russia or allegations that they did collude with Russia, I think that it certainly is beyond just sort of an inside politics question. It's more of becoming a national security question.
And in our last 30 seconds here, if these revelations turn out to be true, what recourse do Democrats have? Would they try to push back against Kushner's security clearance now?
I think they would. You know, there's not a whole lot. This is kind of an executive branch thing. There's not a whole lot they can do directly. But, you know, certainly members of Congress can tie up nominees. They can, you know, try to include legislative language that would change the way the security clearances are granted. And they certainly have, the, you know, their own bully pulpits in terms of being able to make statements about that. So I would expect, you know, this to be a topic that is on the minds of legislators on the Sunday shows and into next week.
And so the Sunday shows, by the way, you can hear right here on Bloomberg Radio. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you. Enjoy the weekend. You can read more of these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It is 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. We should have limits on immigration, and physical barriers can help enforce those limits. On both of those common sense points, President Trump is right. But building barriers can't be justified as an emergency measure. Illegal border crossings are down. The president didn't stir himself to do much to get funding for a wall until December. When he declared the emergency, he said he didn't have to do it. Previous emergency declarations haven't been used to resolve a political controversy, let alone to allow the executive branch to spend money in a way that Congress had considered and decided against. Even if the president has the legal power to take this action, as the administration insists, it's an abuse of that power to exercise it. Senators should vote to disapprove of that abuse, especially if they condemned similar abuses by President Obama, as most Republicans did. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Karen?
It's 6:56 on Wall Street. Nathan, time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
And according to a new study, Karen, Chinese retaliation against President Trump's tariffs is hitting U.S. exporters harder than their Chinese counterparts and costing the U.S. the equivalent of about $40 billion a year in lost exports. At a hearing on Capitol Hill, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer faced a barrage of questions from lawmakers dealing with their own litany of complaints from constituents affected by either U.S. tariffs or the Chinese imports and Chinese retaliatory measures. A Florida Democrat, Stephanie Murphy, told Lighthizer yesterday, "The evidence on the ground is grim." She said she's had small business owners in her community in Central Florida break down when they talked to her about the impact the tariffs are having on the companies that they have spent a lifetime building. Lighthizer responded, "When you're trying to bring change, it's going to have costs." And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. Watching shares of Foot Locker up more than 15% this morning after fourth quarter profit and comp sales beat analyst estimates. Futures moving higher as well. S&P futures up 17 points. Dow futures up 176. NASDAQ futures up 54. And straight ahead, it's Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow. And this is Bloomberg.